Wednesday, December 27, 2023. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. And we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is going well. I know that we have a holiday week around the world this week because we did have Christmas on Monday. But I hope that you and your family and your friends are all staying strong, you're all staying healthy right now, and I hope that you had an amazing Christmas, or maybe Hanukkah, or Kwanzaa, or just a great past weekend in general. And, I mean, I hope that you got everything you wanted on your list. I know that I came up a little bit short on a couple things that I wanted, because my Denver Broncos choked on Christmas Eve. I'm not going to talk about that right now because it's going to get my pressure up. I'm going to get angry again. But I hope that you got everything that you are wishing for this holiday season. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't remember asking Santa Claus for a hangover this year. And yet, wow, Tuesday morning, he brought one, didn't he? Holy cow, that was a little bit rough to get through. Coming back after the holiday is on Monday and jumping right back in on Tuesday, I don't know, that's kind of rough. I think I need an extra day just to kind of make for a softer landing. That was a little bit tough to come back to. Hey, today on the Daily Dose, I actually have something a little bit different for you today, because, you know, we're kind of busy. We're catching up from the holiday, got ice packs on our eyes and those kind of things. And never fear, I'm not just going to leave you without a podcast this week. I'm going to be giving you something a little bit different, because today on the Daily Dose, we are going to take a look back at some daily doses from the past, but they all have one theme. They are either holiday or even winter themed. So right now, I want you to sit back, I want you to relax, and I want you to take in a few throwback episodes from the Daily Dose past, and let's start off. We have got the top five NFL-inspired Christmas songs. We have some top five alternative Christmas movies, not even sports-related, just some decent movies to watch. And we have the top five athletes that could be Santa Claus, plus a few more that we are going to get to in just a few minutes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some throwback clips from the Daily Dose Sports Podcast. Hey, getting ready to close this out, but just before we get done, I just wanted to give you our Daily Dose. We do this every single week, our Daily Dose Top 5. I gave you my Christmas list. You guys have an idea of some of the things that I want, that I'm hoping to find under the tree. But this week, because it is the Christmas edition, because we have a little bit of the holiday edition, you know, I was thinking about Christmas songs. And I was thinking about, you know, there's a lot of Christmas songs that are out there. And I told you last week, some of them are terrible. You know, a lot of, you know, I like some Christmas music, but when they start playing, when I have to hear like Santa Baby performed by like Iggy Azalea, I'm looking for an ice pick to stick in my ear. I've got some NFL inspired Christmas songs that I wanted to put out for the top five this week. So in light of Christmas, in light of this being Christmas Eve, and tomorrow is the big day, I decided we're going to give you the Daily Dose Top 5 NFL-inspired Christmas songs. Are you ready? Number 5 on our Christmas song list that is inspired by the NFL. This is for the Dolphins. This is for the Bills. This is for the Eagles. This is for the 49ers. And this is for, you know, the Saints. I'll be home for Christmas. They're not going to the playoffs. We all know that. So that is our number 5 on the list. I'll be home for Christmas, just for those special teams that are out there. Number 4 on our list of NFL-inspired Christmas songs, Cutler, the red-nosed backup. Yes, Jay Cutler got benched a week ago in favor of a quarterback that had one of the worst ratings, I believe, of all time, Jimmy Clausen. Clausen actually came in and played pretty good, but he got hurt in the loss to the Lions. Here's a couple things to keep in mind. Couple rumors I've heard out there. For one, understand why the Bears benched Jay Cutler. They benched him because they don't want him to get hurt. He's got a huge contract, and if he gets hurt, no one's going to take him and take that huge contract. So understand that's why they benched him. But I've heard a couple rumors that are out there, and I just want to throw these out there. I just want to throw them out, and you do with them what you will. What if Cutler went to Tennessee where he had played at Vandy, still has a home in Tennessee, still spends time in Tennessee, maybe he goes to Tennessee. They desperately need a quarterback. They need some sort of identity with that terrible franchise. What if he went to St. Louis? St. Louis seems like they've got a lot of pieces in place if they could just get a quarterback. Sam Bradford gets hurt every year. What if he went to St. Louis, played for Jeff Fisher? Jeff Fisher has been known to get some things out of quarterbacks. And the last rumor that I have heard, what if Mike Shanahan took over in Chicago? Remember, Shanahan drafted Cutler, didn't get a whole lot of time with him, ended up getting fired here in Denver. What if he went to Chicago? Keep in mind, and I know that might sound out there, Shanahan is a Chicago guy. That's where he was born and raised. Went to school, I believe, at Eastern Illinois back in that area. Might not be that far-fetched. I don't know. Might not be that far-fetched. Our number four on our list of NFL-inspired Christmas songs, Cutler, the red-nosed backup. Number three on our list. You know, we've all heard the old hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. You know, I was thinking about Josh Gordon with the Cleveland Browns. Had a little bit of problem with some, you know, the marijuana thing, and he was suspended for a good portion of the season. So we're going to call this one Josh Gordon We Have Heard Gets High. That is our number three on our list. Now, our number two, I told you earlier that it's reached a point with me with Tom Brady. It kind of gets on my nerves. He's wearing the Uggs. He's got the wife, whatever, telling people how they should play football. I don't know. Tom just kind of gets on my nerves. So our number two on our list of top NFL-inspired Christmas songs, I Saw Tommy Kissing Santa Claus. Yep, I said it. I said it. That's all there is to it. I said it. It's out there. It's out there. Our number one Daily Dose top five NFL-inspired Christmas song. Are you ready? Are you ready for the number one on our list? Peyton got run over by a Bengal. That's it. That's our number one Daily Dose top five NFL-inspired Christmas song for the week. As we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, our Daily Dose top five this week, I got to give you some background on this. Yesterday, I was home yesterday, as was most of the metro area in Denver. Yesterday in Colorado here in the metro area, we got about a foot of snow dumped on us. And so school was canceled. Everyone was working from home. Everybody was kind of, you know, cooped up in their house all day yesterday. And so, like with me, I had the family home with me. We kind of sat around and just watched, you know, some of the Christmas movies that were on throughout the day. You know, and whether you're watching some of the classics, you're watching like Christmas Vacation, or you're watching Christmas Story, or you're watching Elf, or, you know, some of these, you know, different, you know, movies that are on. They're like the big name movies. They're like, well, everybody watches them. You know, the Rudolph, you know, you watch Rudolph and Santa's a jerk until he can use Rudolph for his personal gain. And the Charlie Brown Christmas was on, you know, where we've got like a 6-year-old kid going through, you know, depression. That's an enlightening, one. I don't know how that one got to be so big, but Charlie Brown going through depression and going to a 5-cent psychiatrist. That one was on. And so there's a few Christmas movies that it seems like every year you just kind of watch. You know, those ones that you just, I don't really go out of my way to watch them, but I end up watching them. I end up watching those same shows like every single year. Like since I was a little kid, I've seen all these exact same shows. Like you see them every year. And so I started thinking about Christmas movies in general. And yes, we went off the board a little bit this week as far as sports, but I started thinking about Christmas movies in general because there are certain Christmas movies that you might not know about. Or you might not realize that they're kind of Christmassy kind of movies. So just, and I'm telling you ahead of time, these are not all suitable for little kids. In fact, maybe one of them is suitable for little kids. But here are the Daily Dose top five alternative Christmas movies. When you're sick of all the regular ones, when you're sick, you've seen Christmas Vacation so many times, and yes, we know, we've seen all those a million times. They're fun to watch, but there's only so many good ones. Let me give you the Daily Dose top five alternative Christmas movies, and if you haven't seen them yet, I would encourage you to do so. Number five on our list. I promise you this one is not suitable for kids. It definitely has some adult language. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. You may never have heard of this one. Starring Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. Downey is a small-time crook that is running from the cops. And as he's running from the cops, he ends up in an acting audition for like a mystery film. And of course, he gets the part. It's set during Christmas time. Robert Downey is just one of those guys, though. And I think he's a phenomenal actor. He's one of those guys that I don't always know if he's acting or if that's just how he is. There are certain guys in life that you look at, like Tracy Morgan. I don't know if Tracy Morgan is acting or if that's really who he is. Like, he always kind of acts like he maybe is a little bit drunk and he just kind of woke up on a street corner and I don't know if he's acting or not. There are certain guys in life that I think they're, Robert Downey Jr. is that guy. Kiss, Kiss, Bang, Bang. A very funny movie. Trust me, if you check that one out, that will become a movie that you really, really like. Number four on our list. Alternative Christmas movies to the regular, to the normal, to the ones you're sick of. You gotta watch Gremlins, don't you? If you don't know the story of Gremlins, maybe you heard about it back in the day, and yes, it's an older movie, but a gadget salesman finds this weird little pet for his son for Christmas. It's his Christmas present. And the pet turns out to be a little bit different than what we all thought. But some people, they look at this movie like a horror movie. It's not a horror movie. It's actually kind of a comedy. The Gremlins, yes, they might kill you with a chainsaw, but the Gremlins are creative. They also will rig your stair lift to launch you through a plate glass window. They sing songs. They dance. They swing on ceiling fans. These little imps are a riot, and Gremlins is definitely worth watching in the Christmas season. And I don't know. What is it? Like PG-13 maybe? Something like that. Gremlins is a classic. You got to watch that one. Number three on our list. I don't know if everyone's going to like this one, but this is definitely one of those ones that's a little bit Christmassy. You even got some Christmas music in it. You got to watch Lethal Weapon, don't you? You got to watch Mel Gibson before he completely went crazy. Mel Gibson, he's in this buddy cop movie where he's chasing down these drug traffickers, and it takes place during the holidays. Yeah, you got to watch Lethal Weapon. And Gibson, just for the record, Gibson has the mullet in this, and it is magnifique. I mean, that is a mullet. It's so good. Gibson sports that mullet like no other. Yeah, you got to check out Lethal Weapon. That's a Christmas classic. Number two on our list. This is another classic that they have to watch. Trading Places. Trading Places. If you want to see Eddie Murphy back when he was, you know, still funny, and not dressing up like every single character in the entire movie, you got to watch Trading Places. Trading Places is a phenomenal movie. Now the only, I know, cause you're probably getting your hair up right now. Cause I said that he dresses up. The only one that I'm okay, the only movie I'm okay with Eddie Murphy dressing up as a bunch of different characters is, in Coming to America. He can be as many characters as he wants in Coming to America. He was phenomenal in that. Other than that, Eddie, just be Eddie. But this is when Eddie was still funny, and I don't know what happened to him. He started doing little kid movies, and then he stopped being as funny. But Eddie's a street hustler in Trading Places, and he's the subject of a bet by some big money Wall Street brokers. Eddie Murphy's very, very good. Trading Places, that's got to be a Christmas classic. You got to watch that one every year. I mean, Eddie Murphy's in it. It's directed by John Landis. You've got Dan Aykroyd in it. You've got Jamie Lee Curtis in it. Phenomenal movie. Trading Places, that's got to be on your list. Our number one alternative Christmas movie that you have to watch. What else could it be? What else could it be? It's got to be Die Hard. It's got to be Die Hard. Yes, it's mindless violence. But I mean, Bruce Willis is a New York cop visiting his estranged wife at this this Christmas party that's being hosted at her company's headquarters. When this group of terrorists led by Harry Potter bad guy Severus Snape come in, and they kind of take over this plaza, and they're going to try to rob this place. And I mean, it's pretty good. A lot of mindless violence. If you just want some action, if you haven't seen it, Severus Snape, he has a knack. He has a knack, both in, like, in every movie he's ever been in, but in this one, he really does it. And he does it in the Harry Potter movies too. Snape has this thing where he says all his lines, but he says them like really, really slow. Like he takes forever to get through, the lines that he's going to say. Like, in one point, he's reading this note from Bruce Willis's character, and he says, "Now I have a machine gun. Ho. Ho. Ho." It's that slow. And he does the same thing in Harry Potter. Like, I don't know if that's like his thing as an actor. Like, in Harry Potter, he'd be like, "Turn in your textbooks to page 93. Really? You slow it down a little more? That's how you took it. But great, great movie. Here's the thing that I took from Die Hard. Because I saw Die Hard back in the day, long ago. Here's the thing that I took from Die Hard. Because Bruce Willis has like kind of these macho lines, and anytime there's like a big scene, like he says some real cool line, and he like has some real cool things that he says, and he's kind of funny, and you're kind of rooting for him. Here's the thing that I took away from Bruce Willis in this movie. Maybe I'm the only one that took this. The thing I took away from Bruce Willis smokes like a lot. Like, most of his lines in this movie, he says with a heater dangling out of his face. And I'll be honest, as a kid growing up, because like, I was an athlete, I was playing sports, smoking was never anything that had any appeal to me. And I know I might be a little bit different in that way, but that was never, because, you know, I was an athlete. Smoking, I never really cared about. I watched Bruce Willis in Die Hard, and like, every line he has, he's got like this, you know, smoke coming out of his nose and down his face, and he looks like a dragon, and he, "Welcome to the party, pal!" And you're like, "Man, that's the coolest thing. I might have to start smoking just from this." And then, you know, you try it like once, and you end up throwing up on your Jordans, and you say, "Forget it." But still, the whole Die Hard thing, Bruce Willis can smoke the heck out of a cigarette. I will give him that. There is our top 5 Daily Dose alternative Christmas movies that you just might want to check out. As we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top 5. You know, it's got a little bit of a holiday flavor. You know, the Daily Dose top 5, I get a lot of comments on it. I get a lot of feedback on it. You never quite know where it's going to go. From week to week, it kind of has just a mind of its own. It kind of just goes on its own little course. The Daily Dose top 5 this week, you know, we've got Christmas coming. Just 2 days. It'll be on Friday. And I started to think about, you know, there's certain athletes, they just kind of have that giving spirit. They just kind of have that, I don't know if it's an unselfishness, but it's a willing to give in key times. And I just thought about, you know, some of these athletes, they could be Santa Claus. There are certain athletes out there. They are so giving in their nature. They could be Santa Claus. Let's count down today. The Daily Dose top 5 athletes that could be Santa Claus. Hey, hopefully he's coming to your house, you know, Thursday night, Friday morning, whatever it is. Number 5 on our list. This guy, pretty mate, with this guy, that was like John Gruden-esque. This guy, you know, Oscar Robertson, has the most triple doubles in NBA history with 181. He had a 14-year career with the Cincinnati Royals and the Milwaukee Bucks. He had 181 triple doubles. You know who's second? Second is Magic Johnson, clear back at 138. You might sit there and say, how on earth? I mean, now LeBron James gets like a triple double and everybody loses their mind. How on earth did Oscar Robertson have 181 of them? Well, in the 61-62 season, he averaged a triple double. In 61-62, he was averaging 30.8 points per game, 12.5 rebounds per game, and 11.4 assists per game. That's never going to be matched. No one's ever going to put up that huge of numbers in one season for his career. It wasn't like he played a short career. It wasn't like, but he played 60. For 14 seasons, his average, 25.7 points, 7.5 rebounds, 9.5 assists. This is a guy that was not afraid to share. We talked about Kobe early in the show getting an assist. This guy would assist. This guy had no problem handing things out. He did a lot of things to contribute. Oscar Robertson, there's a guy that could be Santa Claus in my book. That's a guy who does a lot of things to help you. Pretty unselfish player. I'll definitely put him on my list. Number four on our list. Athletes that could be Santa Claus. Wayne Gretzky. Center Wayne Gretzky played with the Edmonton Oilers, played with the Los Angeles Kings. Now here's the one thing, because if you don't follow hockey, you might not really grasp this. Wayne Gretzky had 1,963 career assists. Now that doesn't mean anything, you know, in a vacuum. You sit there and say, well, who? If you don't follow hockey, you might not know this. You get a point for an assist and you get a point for a goal. Now in his career, Gretzky has 2,857 career points. Second place would be Mark Messier, who has 1,887 points. You say, who cares? Here's the thing I'm trying to tell you. Wayne Gretzky could have gone his entire career without scoring a single goal, and he would still be the all-time points leader in NHL history. Now, he still had almost 900 goals in his career, but he didn't have to score a single goal. If he doesn't score a single goal, he still is the all-time leading points getter in NHL history. Yeah, I'll take that guy. He might be Santa Claus. He can go hand some things out. He's not afraid to pass gifts around. Pretty good. Number three on our list. Gotta be Utah Jazz guard John Stockton. Stockton is the all-time NBA leader in assists. The mailman, he was pretty good. Mailman didn't always deliver, though. Stockton did. Stockton had nearly 16,000 assists. Second place, Jason Kidd with just barely over 12,000. That many more. For his career, John Stockton averaged 13 points a game and 10.5 assists per game. Just always steady. Always steady with John Stockton. And dude was one of the greatest passers. It wasn't anything fancy. It was just always accurate, and it was just always steady. Yeah, John Stockton, he could definitely be Santa Claus. Here's a guy who's not afraid to share. Here's a guy who's not afraid to give things out. He could definitely do it. Number two on our list. Well, I don't know if we should have this guy on our list. Brett Favre. Wait a second. Hear me out. Here's the thing. Maybe Brett Favre could be like delivering presents in his Wranglers, even. In his career, he is the all-time NFL leader in interceptions with 336. Next guy on the list is George Blanda with 277. Now, some of that is longevity. Some of that, I mean, Brett played a long, long time. Some of that is Brett liked to share the ball sometimes, and he would throw it to the wrong team. He loved to give. He was a giver. Brief side note. One of the things one of the great things about doing this show is you go back and you do some research on some of these things. Here's a stat for you. I just want to throw this out briefly. In 1962, George Blanda had 42 interceptions. 42? How many times did he throw it that year? They weren't throwing it all over the place. I mean, maybe that's AFL football or something. What was he throwing it? 100 times? 42 to the wrong team. Anyways. Brett Favre is also the all-time NFL leader in fumbles with 166. Again, it's a little bit of a longevity record, but bottom line, that's over 500 giveaways by Brett Favre. Favre might be our guy. He's a giver. He is a giver. I don't know who could possibly top Brett Favre on our list of guys that could be Santa Claus, who are givers, who, you know, good with the kids, good. All right, let's see who our number one guy is. Number one on our Daily Dose top five athletes who could be Santa Claus. Sean Kemp. What? How is Sean Kemp on this list? That's not Sean Kemp. He's not. Did Steve Harvey write this list? How is Sean Kemp on our list? I mean, he does have like 37 kids. I guess I could see it. And when you think about it, he does leave surprise packages everywhere he goes. Yeah, I guess it's Sean Kemp. There's our guy that could be Santa Claus. I sometimes, like I said, the Daily Dose top five, it just has a mind of its own. Sometimes we don't know where it's going to go. We don't know what it's going to do. But sometimes, yeah, it kind of gets it right. Hey, we're going to get back to a few more of those clips, but I do want to remind you to make sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com, where we have new articles going up every week. In fact, if you stop by this week, you saw I had an article about just kind of how fitting it was that the Denver Broncos lost that game to the New England Patriots this past weekend. But you can also go by the website. You can find links to the Daily Dose podcast. You can find links to the YouTube videos. And you can find links to Daily Dose gear. Hey, maybe you forgot someone on that holiday gift list. What better gift could you go get someone right now than to go get them a Daily Dose hoodie, t-shirt, or sweatshirt, a few different styles to choose from, and you can pick them in any color that you want. So make sure that you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every single week and checking out what is going on over there. Right now, let's dive back into some Daily Dose Sports podcast clips, and we are going to go back to the top five least popular Christmas gifts for sports fans. This was back in around 2017. We do also have some memorable Winter Olympic moments, and we even have some rejected college football bowl games. So sit back and relax and enjoy a few more Daily Dose Sports Podcast throwback clips. Okay, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. And of course, with it being the Christmas season, we're all getting ready, getting the presents, getting the tree. It's kind of funny. We look at Christmas a little bit different than we do any other holiday. It's different than New Year's. It's different than Thanksgiving. It's different than Halloween. We approach Christmas a little bit differently. We got to get the perfect tree. It's got to be the right size. It's got to be the right lighting. We got to get the perfect tree. It would be a much, much better Christmas if we had the perfect tree. Got to get the perfect gift. I'm shopping for the white. Oh, what would be perfect? I got to get the perfect. You know what they'd really like? We got to get the perfect gift. You want to have the perfect meal. Everything about Christmas, we hold ourselves to a kind of a ridiculous standard, don't we? If it's not quite right, we feel horrible. I really wanted to get him that jacket. They ran out and I had to get him this other. Yeah, it was cool, but it wasn't the perfect gift. We're always looking for that perfect gift. You want to get everything right on Christmas. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want anything on our top five list this year. The Daily Dose top five today, least popular Christmas gifts for sports fans. Got some bad ones here. I'm not going to lie to you. Got some tough, tough presents here. All right, let's get to it. Now, these were voted by a few of the people around that kind of helped me out with some of the things here on the show. I told you, I have kind of, I don't want to call them a brain trust. That sounds insulting to them and to me. But a few people in the know. We've got John out in Southern California. He helps me out. Mike out in California. He helps me out. Mike here in Castle Rock, I'll get some input from him. You've heard Raymond every once in a while on the show back east. I'll talk to him. Big Rob is here in Denver. I'll talk to him every once in a while. Of course, Larry and Centennial, another popular guest. I'll kind of ask them. I need some input. What do you think? What's the least popular gift for Christmas this year for sports fans? And so these are some of the suggestions that we've had. So today, Daily Dose, top five least popular Christmas gifts for sports fans. Again, you probably don't want to get these things for your loved ones. Let's see what we have here for number five. I have not read these yet. Number five, the Caitlyn Jenner decathlon dress for boys. I don't think that's a thing, is it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's not a thing. Would not be popular, I wouldn't think. I don't know. One, decathlon doesn't quite have the same, you know, feeling that it used to back when, you know, Bruce Jenner, Caitlyn Jenner, whatever, used to do it. Like now, nobody does that anymore. Either way, the Caitlyn Jenner dress for boy, probably not real popular. I understand it. Yes, it's not popular, but I don't know that we want that on our list. Let's go to number four. Number four on our list, least popular Christmas gifts for sports fans. 4th of July, Jason Pierre-Paul firecracker surprise. See, that sounds dangerous. That sounds more dangerous. I don't know what that involves. We know what happened with Pierre-Paul. He's got a couple digits that he still hasn't found. So I guess that makes some sense. Let's look at number three. We'll move on to number three. JaVale McGee's Guide to Smarter Basketball. Sure. Yeah, I don't want that. I've seen JaVale McGee. If you don't know who JaVale McGee is, big man for the Golden State Warriors. He's bounced around. Not always the smartest fellow. Not always the Mensa type of guy. Scores on the wrong baskets at times. Forgets whose ball it is. Takes the ball out when it's not his. Guide to Smarter Basketball, probably not a real popular sell at Barnes & Noble. I understand that. Let's move on to number two, least popular Christmas gifts for sports fans, and that is fully paid tuition to the Brock Osweiler Passing Academy. Does Osweiler have a passing academy? I'm not sure if he has that. I'm not sure if Brock has a passing academy, but if he does, I understand. I wouldn't want to send anyone there either. Number one on our list. What could be number one? Got a few different directions on this list. What could be number one? The number one Daily Dose top five least popular Christmas gift for sports fans. Cleveland Brown tickets, of course. Today on the Daily Dose, we're going to do our top five. No, it's not really sports related. It's more holiday related because it's kind of a holiday week here, right? Now, what we are going to count down today is the Daily Dose top five worst Christmas songs. Now, and I know, I can already hear you, some of you say, there's no such thing as a bad Christmas song. Notice that I'm throwing this out there. This isn't the worst versions, okay? It's not like, well, did you hear so-and-so sing this? Otherwise, I could just put Jessica Simpson or like, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That would be really, really easy. For our list here, it doesn't matter who sings it. Like I said, if I'm just picking out bad versions, it's going to be like a top 500. This is pointed more at the actual song. No matter who sings this song, they aren't very good. And no, I didn't go pick the goofy songs. I didn't go get the Alvin and the Chipmunks or the All I Want for Christmas is Two Front Teeth or I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas or any of that. We don't want that. We know those are horrible. Except for Alvin and the Chipmunks, who is awesome. But I want to apologize in advance because I'm telling you right now, I am going to name some of your holiday favorites. It's not personal, but here's the thing I want you to keep in mind as I name these. I shouldn't even do this top five, honestly. It was a bad idea. I shouldn't be doing this one. I'm going to do it anyways. Here's the thing I want you to keep in mind as I name the Daily Dose top five worst Christmas songs, okay? As I step on your toes here over a song that you like, or you say, that song meant so much to me, whatever it might be. Here's the thing. There's a big difference between a good song and a familiar song. Just because a song is familiar, just because you know the song, I've been listening to that song since I was a kid, doesn't mean it's good. You might think, hey, I like that song. Do you? Do you really? Or are you just very familiar with that song? I'm just throwing that out there. Man, some of you are not going to be happy with these selections. I already know that right now. Okay, first song up. Five. This one's going to anger some people right off the bat. I don't have a whole lot of, like, these are the more of the modern song, but this one goes on my list. Okay, now you might be hearing that right now. Silent Night. You might be saying, what are you talking about? Blasphemer, how dare you put, that is one of my favorite Christmas songs ever. Silent Night, that is a great song. How dare you put it on the Daily Dose worst Christmas songs list? Here's my problem with Silent Night. Like, it's really, really, really slow. Like, it's super, super slow. If you played it at a funeral, people would be looking around going, like, can we pick this up a little bit? Like the corpse might be sitting up and saying, yeah, you know, yeah, I like the choice of music, but it's kind of putting me to sleep here. It's really, really slow. And here's the other thing. When you think about the lyrics of Silent Night and like who wrote them. So let's see, they're writing on songs. All right, I got a good idea for a song here. Let's see, Silent Night. Let's see, next, Holy Night. That's good, that's good, that rhymes. All still? No. All is calm. All right. All is, what rhymes with night? Silent night, holy night. All is calm. All is light. No, all is bright. All is bright. Like, what 4-year-old wrote the lyrics to this song? I know that we are like connected to the song. Maybe you heard it growing up or whatever. Silent Night's not a great song. And there's not a whole lot of spin that you could put on this song. Sorry. If Silent Night's your song, I apologize. Moving forward to number 4 on our list. Please, and by the way, I don't have rights to these songs. Don't sue us for playing these songs because we're, you know, kind of using them here. But this is a horrible song. Like, this is a really bad song. If you don't know this song, first off, you're really, really lucky. The name of this song is called Mary Did You Know? Okay, and it's talking, obviously, about the birth of Jesus. And it's asking the mother of Jesus, Mary, did you know that your baby boy someday would be the savior of the world? Okay. Now, I hesitate bringing this one up. I don't want to go all Sunday school lesson or anything. But like, when you were a little kid, you learned like how this story went, didn't you? If you didn't, let me fill you in. prior to the baby being born, the angel comes to Mary and says, "Hey, Mary, here's some info for you." So the answer to all the questions in this stupid song that they ask on every single line of this song, "Mary, did you know?" Yes, I knew. Dumb, dumb song. That comes in at number four. Moving on to number three of the worst Christmas songs on our Daily Dose Top 5 today. Here's another one. This is a bad song. This is a really bad song. And here's the thing. Like, I swear, I'm not trying to bang on the people that perform Do They Know It's Christmas for charity. I commend them for their efforts. Here's the problem with it. It's really condescending. Like, it's really pretentious. Here's some of the lyrics if you don't know them or if you're hearing them right now. It's Christmas time. There's no need to be afraid. At Christmas time, we let in light and we banish shade. And in our world of plenty, we can spread a smile of joy. Throw your arms around the world at Christmas time, but say a prayer. Prayer for the other ones. At Christmas time, it's hard. But when you're having fun, there's a world outside your window, and it's a world of dread and fear where the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears and the Christmas bells that ring. These are the clanging chimes of doom. Well, tonight, thank God, it's them instead of you. Like, that song just depressed me. That's the saddest Christmas song ever. Here's the question. Like, can I ever be happy about anything ever? Because I know somewhere out there someone's suffering. Like, am I allowed to smile when I'm alone in the tub? Is there ever happiness in my life? Or every single time I'm happy, do I have to go, man, this is a really great day. You know what? I had a good day at work. I got a raise and my wife still loves me and I have healthy kids and everything's good. But man, somewhere in the world, there's suffering. Like, can I enjoy anything? And there's no redemption to this song. There's never a, hey, just keep those people in mind. Make sure you don't forget the little people. No. It's just never be happy again because somewhere someone is suffering. I don't like this song. Moving on to number two on our Daily Dose Top 5 Worst Christmas Songs. Okay, this song, let's start this song. This is a nice song. Like, this is a nice song. Good feel. Pleasant sound. Nice harmonies. Cute little concept. You know, she sings and then he sings. Except for one thing. I want you to do one thing for me as you listen to this song. I want you to imagine your teenage daughter is singing this duet and she's singing it with, let's say, Harvey Weinstein or Bill Cosby. Yeah, it kind of changes the song a little bit, doesn't it? So when she says, "So I'd really better scurry, beautiful, please don't hurry. Well, maybe just a half drink more. Put some records on while I pour. Say, what's in this drink?" What? Is this the song? "Say, what's in this drink?" That's what the line is. She says, "Say, what's in this drink?" Seriously, is this about Bill Cosby? "I ought to say no, 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 sir. Mind if I move a little closer?" Yeah, I don't want Bill Cosby singing this to anyone I know. This song is disturbing. It's surprising to me that in this PC world we're living in, "Baby, It's Cold Outside" actually gets as much play as it does. It's kind of creepy. Like, everybody complained about that Robin Thicke song. This is right here, and it's been around for years. Yeah, that's going to come in at number two. So what is our number one worst Christmas song? Come on, what else could it be? Freaking Wham! Who else could it be? And I know what you're thinking. I like that song. I like that song. It's a catchy little song. I like it. Last Christmas. That's a fun song. And I know, its catchy little synthesized beat is cute, and George Michael is just belting it out. Hey, I get it. Enjoy the song. Don't let me stop you. I want to kind of remind you to think about how pathetic the singer in this song truly is. Because when you hear this song, last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day you gave it away. This year, a year later, this year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. So this is some sad, pathetic fool pining for someone over something that happened a year ago. It even says, "Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year. It doesn't surprise me." It was a year ago. And you're saying, "I'll give it to someone special." Wait a second. It's a year later and you're still singing to me? You're still not. How pathetic is this? No. Wham comes in at number one. And again, I don't care if you like these songs. You say, "Hey, Clint, I like these songs. That's still my favorite song." I'm okay with that. I'm just telling you, when you think about what Last Christmas says, it's kind of a pathetic song. Not to mention the fact you know, it's by Wham. Now, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. You know, the 2018 Winter Olympics did wrap up this past week in South Korea. And earlier this week, we did discuss some of the more memorable moments from these games. Whether it was Shaun White, whether it was women's hockey, or whether it was curling, or whether it was Lindsey Vonn, or whether it was all that god-awful ice skating we had to endure, we do take a few memories from these games when they only come around once every 4 years, right? Now, it's a little easier to remember the big moments from the summer games. I won't even pretend that's not the case. But what are the most memorable moments from the winter games? I put together a list of the moments that I remember, and I would bet that you will remember some of these too. Here is our Daily Dose top 5 most memorable Winter Olympic moments. Number 5 on our list. You know, he had been a favorite in the 1988 games for the 500 and the 1,000 meter speed skating event. However, in the early hours of February 14th, the day of the 500 meter event, Dan Jansen was informed that his 27-year-old sister, Jane, was dying of leukemia. Jansen spoke to her on the phone. She was unable to give him a response. And a few hours later, Jansen was notified that his sister actually died. Jansen went on to compete in the 500 meter race, but he fell. 4 days later in the 1,000 meter event, he began with record-breaking speed, but he fell again. He left the 88 Olympics with no medals at all. However, here's the memorable event. In 1994, he went into the 1,000 meter as a long shot. Somehow, Dan Jansen managed to win the gold, setting a world record. Jansen, of course, dedicated his gold medal to his sister Jane, and he took a victory lap with his baby daughter that he had named. Yeah, you guessed it, Jane. That is number 5 on our list. Moving on to number 4. How could we forget this? A team from a tropical country made its Winter Olympics debut with its 4-man bobsled team, which became a cult favorite for the way that they carried themselves and for their effort. After flipping over their sled, the Jamaican bobsled team emerged unscathed, walked to the finish to great applause in 1988. Of course, 5 years later, Disney released the movie Cool Runnings that was loosely based on this team. And the following year, the Jamaican bobsledders placed a respectable 14th in Lillehammer. By the way, just a weird side note. You know the guy that played Derice, the driver of the sled in Cool Runnings? I think he goes by the name of like Leon. Like Cher, just one name. I met Leon when I was working at the radio station doing the Daily Dose back in the day. Came in for an interview. Nice guy. Little guy. Not as big as I thought he was going to be. But anyways, there's that. That's number 4 on our list. Moving on to number 3. You know, in 1984, at age 23, a young alpine skier dared to challenge the long-established European domination of downhill ski racing. Some of his teammates even thought that 23-year-old Mr. Bill Johnson was kind of a punk. But he reveled in that image. He wanted to be the bad boy of skiing. He was called Billy the Kid, and he went to Sarajevo, Yugoslavia, and skiing at a speed that looked completely out of control, somehow Bill Johnson stayed on his skis, managed not to crash, and brought home the gold medal for Team USA. Johnson actually would sustain a major crash in 2001, which left him with a major head injury. He would die from those injuries in 2016, but who could forget when Bill Johnson won the gold back in 84? Absolutely amazing that he even held on. That is number 3 on our list. Number 2. We all remember this one. 7 weeks after Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed by a man connected to Tonya Harding in one of the biggest scandals ever in Winter Olympic history. Both Kerrigan and Harding took the ice in a highly anticipated showdown in the 94 Olympics. The short program broadcast had nearly 46 million homes watching, the sixth highest percentage of households of all time. The long program broadcast, during which somehow Nancy Kerrigan, who really wasn't that great of a skater, she won silver and Harding finished eighth and was asking for a reskate because she had broke her shoelace, they had 42 million people watching that. Now, I know that revisionist history is retelling this story with Tonya Harding as the victim. Yeah, that's not true. She's never answered for the fact that the FBI had multiple corroborated testimonies that she was involved in the planning of this attack. So slow down on Harding being a victim. The FBI actually found notes in Harding's handwriting stuffed into a dumpster that showed the attack plans. Yes, Tonya Harding might have grown up in an abusive house. That doesn't mean she's absolved from guilt. So let's stop with the my truth crap and just go with the truth. That usually works best. But who could forget Nancy Kerrigan in the 1994 Winter Olympics? We all remember that one. Moving on to the number one most memorable Winter Olympic moment. What else could it be? Number one on our list, in one of the greatest moments in sports history, Herb Brooks' teenage U.S. team somehow upset the juggernaut Soviet Union in the Miracle on Ice. The Soviets, who had won the previous four Olympics, went down 4-3, basically thanks to really, really great goaltending from Jim Craig and a game-winning goal from team captain Mike Ruzioni. Just 2 days later, Team USA won the improbable gold with another come-from-behind victory against Finland that kind of gets forgotten. But that win against Finland was no less clutch. It just wasn't against the big-name opponent like the Soviet Union. But our number one entry on the most memorable Winter Olympic moment, hey, what else could it be? Do you believe in miracles? Because we truly saw one in the Winter Olympics of 1980.
19 seconds. Johnson over to Ramsey. Vigilantinov gets checked by Ramsey. McClanahan is there. The puck is still loose. 11 seconds. You've got 10 seconds. The countdown going on right now. Morrow up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
Now, as we do every single week, we need to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Like I said earlier, there are now 40 college football bowl games. Call me crazy. That seems a little bit high to me, doesn't it? You're telling me that 80 college football teams deserve a bowl game? That means we will have teams finish 500 at the end of the season. And with a loss in the bowl game, they actually finished their season under 500. They got to go to a bowl game. They finished under 500. I don't know. I'm not really a fan of that. I mean, I guess there's really no harm. The kids get to go have fun. They go goof off at a bowl game. They get their swag bag. We get more football to watch. So I'm not going to throw too much of a fit. And every once in a while, like a good game breaks out in, I don't know, the Las Vegas Bowl or something. But when I was a kid, there just weren't that many bowls. Everyone didn't get a ribbon. You had to kind of be special to get a bowl game. You had to kind of be special to get that ribbon. You had the big bowl games. You had the Rose Bowl, you had the Orange Bowl, the Sugar, the Cotton Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, and the Peach Bowl. Those were the big ones. And then you had those other kind of lower level bowl games, but there just weren't as many. You had the Independence Bowl, you had the Blue Bonnet Bowl, the Sun Bowl, the Gator Bowl, the Citrus Bowl, Liberty, Outback. I think there was an Aloha Bowl and the Holiday Bowl. Holiday Bowl was always kind of interesting. That was about it. Now you have bowl games. I can't even tell if they really are bowl games. The famous Idaho Potato Bowl, it's been around for a while, but I have no idea why we have a famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Why in the world would anyone want to go to Boise at this time of year? I have no idea. Sorry, Boise. It's not exactly an island paradise. The Lending Tree Bowl? What in the world is the Lending Tree Bowl? The Red Box Bowl. Is Red Box even still a thing? I didn't even know that was still a thing. I thought that like went the way of Blockbuster. The Bad Boys Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. Hey folks, I'm not making that up. That's a real bowl game this year. Central Florida will be playing Marshall in it this year. If that is a bowl game that actually made it, what bowl games did get turned down? Well, I'm glad you asked, because here at the Daily Dose, our very own Daily Dose investigative team was able to track down a list that was thrown in the trash can by the NCAA that had on it a list of bowl games that actually were rejected. Now, I can't say that all of these are permanently rejected. Maybe some of them eventually end up taking place. Who knows? So maybe you'll see one of these eventually, but for right now, they are not on the schedule. Today on the Daily Dose, let's count down the Daily Dose top five rejected bowl games by the NCAA. Got a couple out here that might be a little bit interesting. Coming in at number five is one that, I mean, I guess I understand why it was rejected, because the NCAA doesn't like to talk about these things very much. They did finally sort of kind of relent a little bit this year and say they are working on a plan for collegiate athletes to be able to make money on their own likeness at some point in the future someday. But I mean, who knows how that's going to go? And maybe that is why the NCAA has rejected the Players Aren't Getting Paid Bowl. Hey, it doesn't look very good for the NCAA to name it that. I think that's why they rejected it. The Players Aren't Getting Paid Bowl comes in at number five. Coming in at number four is another bowl that the NCAA, for whatever reason, just didn't really care for. But this one, I don't understand why. Because the NCAA, they are the ones that started this whole thing. See, every time in collegiate athletics, when someone gets in trouble, maybe it's college football or college basketball or whatever, the NCAA, they're not quite sure what to do, right? So what do? They come out with an announcement and they say this: this school or this coach or this player is going to have to vacate games or vacate titles or vacate trophies or whatever. Vacate? Vacate? Oh, you mean pretend? You mean we're all supposed to pretend they didn't happen? Got it. Well, if they are the ones pushing that whole idea, then I don't see why the NCAA would reject the Pete Carroll annual Forget This Game Ever Happened Bowl. It seems like it would be right in their wheelhouse. We remember when Pete Carroll was at USC. They had to vacate like everything. Hey, all those titles, the Heisman, the championships, we're going to pretend none of that stuff ever happened. We're going to vacate all those things. So why in the world are they turning down the Pete Carroll annual Forget This Game Ever Happened Bowl? Maybe the title was too long. I don't know. But I kind of like that one. I don't know why they didn't. Moving on to number three. Hey, the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, it has been in existence since 1937. Historically, the Cotton Bowl hosted the champion of, at the time, the Southwestern Conference against a team invited from somewhere else in the country. A lot of times, it ended up being the runner-up from the Southeastern Conference, which was a really cool game. Now, following the dissolution of the SWC back in 1996, the game then hosted a runner-up from the Big 12 facing an SEC team. That is what they had from 1999 until 2014. But the Cotton Bowl Classic has served as one of six bowls in the college football playoff since the playoff has started. It hosted a national semifinal following the 2015 season. And when you think back to the Cotton Bowl, there have been some pretty amazing games and some really amazing teams and players that have played in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, Texas A&M beat Bear Bryant at Alabama in the Cotton Bowl. The chicken soup game with Joe Montana being sick and leading Notre Dame to an amazing comeback, that happened in the Cotton Bowl. Three of the four Heisman Trophy winners from 1984 to 1987 finished their collegiate career in the Cotton Bowl. Doug Flutie at Boston College, Bo Jackson at Auburn, Tim Brown of Notre Dame. The Cotton Bowl is a storied bowl game. So why is it that we try to add one little prefix to this game and it gets rejected by the NCAA? I have no idea, but the OxyContin Bowl, the NCAA has no interest in that thing whatsoever. Don't know why, but it comes in at number three. We get to our number two rejected college football bowl game. And again, I'm not sure why this one gets rejected by the NCAA. It seems like a pretty good bowl game, and it's kind of happening anyway. Maybe the problem is that it's kind of like a floating game. It would be kind of hard to nail it down because you're not sure which game it would be. A few years ago, it was the Peach Bowl. Last year, it was the Fiesta Bowl. This year, it might be that Gasparilla Bowl game. But the University of Central Florida National Championship Bowl game, has possibilities. At least I thought it did. You go, you play in a random bowl game, and you declare yourself national champions. You buy the rings. You hang the banners. You have the parade. But for whatever reason, the NCAA said no. Sorry, Central Florida. I guess you'll just have to keep naming it that yourselves. Our final college football bowl game that was rejected by the NCAA is probably the one that makes me the most sad of all of them. Because I'm telling you right now, it would be fun to watch. Imagine a bowl game between the two worst teams in the country. One of them is going to get a win. One of them is going to finish their season with a victory. This year, we would have the 0-12 Akron Zips facing the 1-11 University of Texas El Paso Miners. Someone is going to win their final game of the year. Yes, folks, I am talking about the Daily Dose Sports Podcast Bowl, the battle to be the worst. I think that would be a great bowl game, but for whatever reason, the NCAA wants nothing to do with it. Hey, next week on The Dose, I've got something extra special for you because we are going to be bringing you our very first show of the year 2024, and we're going to be taking a look back at the year that was 2023 in the world of sports. So be sure you stop by and be sure you let a friend know to do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week and have a very safe and a very happy New Year.